as people, it's just like church. People come in like 10 minutes. Good morning, everybody. How's everyone? Good. Well, I'm Sherry. I'm here from Nashville. I know that we're here from all over. I'm a pastor in Nashville. I have a couple of churches there near the city. So it's so good to be with you this morning. We are going to have a time together of centering our hearts and our minds on God. So I invite you to worship. We do have a PowerPoint that will enable us to follow along here. We're going to start with an opening prayer, if you all will advance that. All right, I'll lead us if you'll say this with me. We come together in a whirlwind. The rush of the world is with us. Anxiety creeps into our best hours. How then shall we approach our worship today? Such stillness is near to the heart of God. Such discipline revives the spirit. Come, each of you, and open yourselves to the warm embrace of God. Please pray with me. Holy and gracious God, we do welcome your spirit into this place, into our hearts together. As we have come to get ourselves out of the way so that we can see you. Surely, as your divine presence is made real to us, then we will finally be made real. Come and be with us. In your Son's name, amen. I invite you to stand. We're going to sing a little upbeat version of Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing this morning.
Come the fount of every blessing, teach my heart to sing thy praise. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me
to leave the God of
Thank you. Please be seated. We're going to have another time of prayer in just a minute, but before we do, if you haven't expressed the peace in your hearts to one another yet this morning, I invite you to do so at this time. Let's get up and roam around and pass the peace of Christ with one another, saying, "Peace be with you." Invite everyone back to your seats. So sing together. Someone will advance the PowerPoint back there. We're going to launch into some "Precious Lord, Take My Hand." I think. Here we go. If you'd like to stand up, please do. We're gonna channel our blues right now. Here we go.
Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak. Through the night.
Please be seated. Our prayer of illumination today comes from Psalm 85, verses 8 through 12. Let me hear what God the Lord will speak, for God will speak peace to God's people, to the faithful, to those who turn to God in their hearts. Steadfast love and faithfulness will meet. Thank you. I'm going to play a song for you that I wrote based on this passage. There's a time of day in the schedule of the Benedictine monks when they come together. It's called Nun. It's an hour in the afternoon when they come together and actually read from that particular psalm. Space of quiet and contemplation. And whoever is preaching, please come up. Anonymous preacher. Is it you? Oh, wonderful. Welcome.
Good morning, everybody. It's my honor to introduce to you Reverend Ben Godston. He is one of our clergy here in the South Georgia Annual Conference. He was ordained an elder at this past annual conference session, and he is serving his second appointment in South Georgia. He was an associate pastor at Mulberry Street United Methodist Church in Macon, and is now serving his first appointment as senior pastor right here in Savannah at Aldersgate United Methodist Church. And he and his wife Katie and their sweet little 2.5-year-old girl, Livy, live about 2 miles from here and serve a church 2 miles from here. And so we are just so thrilled that he can be here and share with us this morning. Ben?
Thank you, Kelly. It is a joy to be here with this group of communications experts, right? Experts of communication. I want to share with you, Kelly asked me to do this a couple weeks ago, and for whatever reason, I was on a little short Sabbath trip, just trying to do some planning and praying and daily office observation and just trying to be unto myself. And of course, I didn't turn my phone off, and Kelly sent me this email to do this, and immediately a text came to mind, and I want to share that with you and just take a few minutes of your time to talk about your jobs that you are trying to better yourselves for in this gathering. It's a very familiar text. Maybe some of you even heard it at your wedding, but I want to give it a different twist this morning. Paul's letter to the Corinthians, his first letter, chapter 13. Hear these words. If I speak in tongues of human beings and of angels, but I do not have love, I'm a clanging gong or a clashing cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all the mysteries and everything else, and if I have such complete faith that I can move mountains, but I don't have love, I'm nothing. If I give away everything that I have and hand over my own body to feel good about what I have done, but I don't have love, I receive no benefit whatsoever. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous. It doesn't brag. Love is not arrogant. It isn't rude. It doesn't seek its own advantage. It isn't irritable. It doesn't keep record of complaints. Love isn't happy with injustice, but it is happy with the truth. Love puts up with all things, trusts in all things, hopes for all things, endures all things. Love never fails. As for prophecies, they will be brought to an end. As for tongues, they will stop. As for knowledge, it will be brought to an end. We know in part and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, what is partial will be brought to an end. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, reason like a child, and think like a child. But now that I've become a man, I've put an end to childish things. Now we see a reflection in a mirror, then we will see face to face. Now I know partially, but then I will know completely, in the same way that I've been completely known. Now faith, hope, and love remain, these three things. And the greatest of these is love. Let us pray. O God, open our ears to hear your word. Open our hearts to receive and experience it, and empower our hands and feet that we might go forth to live your word for all people. In Jesus' name, amen. I thought in coming to share with you this morning, this group of communications experts, that I would share some wisdom from another communications expert, one from a different century, from the church's history, actually, from the second and third centuries, the region of Carthage. This communications expert, his name was Tertullian. Maybe you've heard of him before. Tertullian famously writes in his day the sentiment that pagans had of Christians. You'll remember that Christianity was a minority religion in the empire, and so they were odd. They were odd, these Christians, how they lived. And Tertullian says that pagans would say this about Christians: look how they love one another. Look, see how those Christians love. In our very short time together this morning, as you prepare to attend workshops and seminars to learn how to better communicate and help others better communicate in and through the life of the local church, I want to offer you this simple word from the Lord. Technology is not just a tool we utilize. It's a forum through which we live our lives of discipleship. And if Christians are called to grow in our love for God and our neighbor, as we are called to do, then maybe we ought to look at the ways we use technology and whether or not that use expresses the very love we're called to embody. How do the ways that we use technology, what do those things say about how we live as Christians. See, technology is this wonderful source of power, isn't it? I mean, I serve a local church. You all are communications experts. You talk with local churches. It's this great power, and it's exciting. And, you know, we just want to harness its energy and put it to use and grow the church and do all these amazing things for the kingdom of God. This powerful new tool, right? Technology. I always remember this quote, "With great power comes great responsibility." That was actually spoken by Voltaire. Some of you giggle because you know it better, spoken by Spider-Man. With great power comes great responsibility. When you train local churches, pastors, leaders, do you also train them on the possible dangers of technology? Do you consider the ways that technology can be abused or the ways that technology can be used to abuse others? Do you inform people that the way they utilize technology says a lot about who they see themselves to be as followers of Jesus Christ? You see, slick ads and glossy web pages, as great as they are and as needed as they all are for local churches in this day and age, those things cannot take the place. They can never replace a genuine community of faith grounded in love. I don't care how good your social media plan is. If you are not a community that embodies love, Paul would say it means nothing. I don't care how great your webpage is, how accessible it is, how easy to use. You can get it on your phone, your iPad. It's compatible for all sorts of devices. If that information on the page does not point people to a community grounded in love, what good is it? You see, substance, even in an age of technology, substance still matters more than style. We have to be careful that we don't become too enamored with this digital world, lest we forget the beauty of the incarnation. God, you see, put on flesh and bones and, as Eugene Peterson reminds us, moved into the neighborhood. There is a physical quality that is still valuable. And so maybe in your teaching and helping churches, remind them that this digital world should always point to a physical reality, an incarnational community grounded in the love of Christ. There are other dangers that we could talk about. One that really jumps out to me. Maybe you remember the classic profile that I think used to be of internet trolls, you know, mean people on the internet. You know, you used to imagine like used to be had these obscure online, you know, a couple letters, you know, Tutti Frutti 678 or something, and they're always posting on news websites, and you just imagine this middle-aged guy who lives in his mother's basement and eats Cheetos all days and scours the web for conspiracy theories, right? But through the power of social media, we now know the names and faces of mean people. Go to a United Methodist Facebook page. Post something about the authority of Scripture or homosexuality. I dare you. And watch. Just watch. Used to be you had this obscure, unknown person who was mean shouting from across the digital world. Now we're faced with the shocking reality that meanness lives in our congregations. We ordain mean people. Pastors are some of the meanest around. Ugliness exists. This is a broken world, and technology makes us face that reality. Maybe that's something that communications directors can help local churches do, to not only just worry about the local church and how it can brand itself on the internet. How can the local church form disciples and send its members forth in service to the world, which is what we're called to do as baptized Christians, right? How can we help people do that so that when you go forth into the world, maybe we tell people, look, resist that temptation to argue online. Resist the temptation to post that obnoxious untruth from some political right-wing, left-wing website. There's a wonderful thing. Teach people about Snopes, by the way. Please, for God's sake, quit posting stuff that's just absolutely untrue. Go fact check it. Just because it's on the internet, it's not true, right? I know. It's crazy. Your mind's blown just in that right there. Help people learn how to be disciples as they utilize this technology that you're training them to use. Back to Tertullian, what does our online experience, not just the local church experience, but as individuals, what does our online presence say about our discipleship, about our commitment to live the ways of Jesus in the world? The Barna Research Group, you'll remember, they do fantastic research, don't they? And it's always sobering for the church that Barna always tells us how we're getting it wrong, which is phenomenal. We need to hear this. And some of their latest research I read just the other day said that still, to this day, you know what the most effective way to reach unchurched people is? Personal invitation. Do you know what, in their poll, do you know what the least most effective way to reach people? Advertisements. Churches can spend a lot of money on advertisements. We can utilize a great social media plan. We can have great web pages. But the most effective way for people continually to reach an unchurched person is just one friend to another. One friend to another. It's wild. Maybe Tertullian would tell us the way that we utilize technology, the way we activate an online presence, maybe we should be reminded that non-Christians are watching us. If a non-Christian saw the way that we use technology, or our church members, or you know, our pastors, would they say, look how those Christians love? Sobering question. We could go on and on, I know, on this topic, but I want to leave you with this. Paul has some truly convicting words for us this morning. You know, not just a wedding passage that's poetic and lovely to hear. These words about love means something to the very essence of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. So Paul would tell us, as we engage the internet and teach others how to do so, Paul might say, if I speak in tongues of humans and angels, but I don't have love, then I'm a clanging gong or a clashing cymbal. He might go on to say, if I know how to utilize the latest digital technology to advertise my church or promote my ministry, but I don't have love, then I'm just an empty internet profile or an empty web page. Paul would say, love is patient and love is kind. And as John Wesley would tell us, love seeks to do no harm and to do good. Maybe those should be the two guiding rules of how we utilize social media and the internet. Do no harm and do some good. Paul would say, love is not arrogant. He might add to that, or hateful, or rude, or obnoxious. Paul says, love is not happy with injustice. He might even say, no matter how many arbitrary scripture citations you might want to attach to that injustice, love is not happy with injustice. See, you all come here and think that you learn, that you're here to learn how to harness the power of technology and share that power with others, and you are. But you might have no idea at all. Maybe you do, maybe you don't have any idea at all that your job, your primary greatest task as communications directors is not how to teach people to use the internet and, you know, communications and self-promotion and all this sort of stuff. Your greatest task is this, that you do all of that while you help to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, help us to follow you in all that we do, in the public moments and the private moments and every moment in between. Let your love engulf us, overwhelm us, shape us, transform us, and send us forth as your disciples for a world in need of that love. We pray through Jesus Christ, our hope and our Savior. Amen.
Well, we didn't plan this, but the perfect hymn to follow up your sermon. Thank you. Join me in singing an old classic, "O Love That Will Not Let Me Go." Please stand with me as you are able. May God make God's face to shine upon you this day, and know that beyond success, beyond career, beyond your bottom line, lies the realm where you are made real, purely and only in the love of God, the seed of your heart. Go in peace. Amen.